Hello and welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. On this week's show, we are going to be visiting the grave of an American president. We are going to be discussing a holiday-related cemetery symbol. We are going to go to Chicago for one of the greatest cemeteries in the country. We are going to visit the grave of one of the greatest Americans ever. And we are going to tell a tale from the NecroTourist Travelogues about the Nashville floods from just 2 weeks ago. All that and so much more on this week's episode of the Cemetery Podcast. Be sure to stick around.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, welcome to another edition of the show. We do have a lot of good stuff in store for you. As I mentioned, I do want to give a shout out to a few people. Number one, I want to say hello to the people who are listening in Arkansas. We've got quite a few people, as well as across the pond over in Italy. Hello to the people in Italy. I'm surprised we have quite a few listeners in Italy. Thank you. Also, again, I want to thank you, thanks to Osric Tentacles for supplying us with the music, the majority of the music for the background of the show. Also to Be Sour for our theme song. Okay, I'm going to get right to the emails. Some of them are directly relevant. First off, the one email came in that said, it came in from Judy Harrison, who was from Springfield, Illinois. And she said, what are your favorite Illinois cemeteries? Well, one of them is going to be easy to answer because I'm going to be talking about it later in the show. It is actually the feature cemetery this week. And also, it is actually one of the cemeteries in your hometown. In 2017, I went to Oak Ridge Cemetery where Lincoln is buried, but the history there, it's a great cemetery. It's you know, obviously the big Garden Park Cemetery from Springfield. I very much enjoyed that. I very much suggest anybody do that. So yeah, those are my favorite two. I don't really know if I have a third favorite. I would really have to think about that. But those two are the ones that left the biggest impression on me. All right, let's see. The other email we have this week. Curtis Burns from Columbus, Ohio. Hey, it's right up the trail. Have you been to Lakeview in Cleveland? Well, great coincidence. You must have set me up with these questions this week, Charlotte. As a matter of fact, we're going to Lakeview this coming weekend. It is the famous Daffodil Hill, where they have the entire hillside loaded with daffodils. So we are going up there this week with Wendy Everett and Sabrina from Gals in the Graveyard. So hopefully next week we'll have some interesting stuff to share with you guys from Cleveland. Lakeview, Riverside, a few other places we're going up there. So a lot of interesting and fun stuff going to be coming down the pike with that. Stick around. We got a lot of good stuff in today's show. And we'll let Ray tell you how you can get your email answered on this show. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the Cemetery Podcast. I am your host, Ken Nagley from the NecroTourist.
Would you like to get your email answered? Well, it's simple. All you need to do is email the NecroTourist at thenecrotourist@thefuneralsource.org.
You know, some of our friends have been working hard to bring awareness to our favorite subject. That is cemeteries. And that is the gals in the graveyard. You know, they're a pair of lady conservationists who enjoy a little bit of gallows humor. Be sure to join their journey, like and subscribe by going to galsinthegraveyard.com. Gals in the Graveyard, bringing life to death. All right, welcome back to the show. Today's feature cemetery is none other than Graceland Cemetery in Chicago, Illinois. It is located in Cook County, and it was established in 1860, right in the heart of the Garden Park movement. It originally was 2 miles outside the Chicago city limits, and it is 119 acres. The cemetery was designed by H. Cleveland, and most of the current features were put there in place by O.C. Simon, who was the superintendent of the cemetery from 1881 to 1898. It was actually awarded a Medal of Excellence at the Paris Exposition of 1900. And Graceland is the final resting place of some very prominent Chicagoans as well as people in U.S. history. I'm going to run down this list, and it's going to give you dozens of reasons why you need to go to Graceland other than just the architecture and the sheer beauty. John Kinsey, one of the early settlers of Chicago. George Pullman with his impressive grave. He's a Pullman as in Pullman Railroad cars. Cyrus Hall McCormick, who one of his inventions was the mechanical reaper as well as other farm industry. Civil planners, Daniel Burnham and Charles Wacker. I think that sounds like a mob law firm, Burnham and Wacker. Just saying. Marshall Field, the retailer. Martin Ryerson, who was the lumber merchant and developer. Victor Lawson, who was a newspaper publisher. Meatpacker, Philip Armour, as in, yeah, Armour Hot Dogs Armour. Alan Pinkerton, Detective Alan Pinkerton. He's legendary in Western history. It also is loaded with world-famous architects. John Root, William Holabird, Howard Van Doren Shaw, William LeBaron Jenny, and Lewis Sullivan, who I will mention again in a moment. Amazing people you'll find there. There is sports people, Ernie Banks. We discussed him in our baseball show. There is boxer, the first black champion, Joe Johnson, is there. Owner W. Hulbert is there. Adolph Arnold, who was the co-founder of the Schwinn Bicycle Company. Historical factors, there are 12 Chicago mayors, including five-termer Carter Harrison, three Illinois governors, 13 U.S. congressmen, Supreme Court Justice Melvin Fuller, three Medal of Honor recipients, two from the Civil War, one from World War I, 15 Civil War generals. There are also several actors and performers to include Dick Cusack, who is John Cusack and Joan Cusack's dad. There is also famous markers such as the pyramid, the Schoenhofer Mausoleum Pyramid, that's amazing, the Palmer Mausoleum, the Getty Tomb, which was designed by Lewis Sullivan, who is also buried there, as I mentioned earlier. Then there is also the Dexter Grave, which is the eternal silence marker, the marker that supposedly if you stare into the eyes of it, you will see your death. I don't know. I stared into the eyes of it. I also have several photos of the eyes of it. It didn't show me my death. However, I can tell you that Graceland was added to the National Registry of Historic Places in 2001. And I have to tell you, this place is extremely necro-tourist friendly. It is... You know, they even added like a search function to their website, so it makes it even easier for you to find graves. So I'm going to tell you right now, I know there are plenty of other places you need to visit in Chicago if you go. But I am telling you, if not the first on your list, it definitely needs to be your second. The Graceland Cemetery in Chicago, Illinois. Get there. You'll be glad you did. Hello, boys and girls. Today's cemetery symbol is the Lily of the Valley. Based on Victorian beliefs, it stands for the return of happiness after Eve's expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Her tears turned into the Lily of the Valley as they hit the ground. However, it is viewed as a symbol of innocence and purity. The Lily of the Valley also symbolizes happiness and humility. Hey Necro Travelers, are you aware that the Necro Tourist does private tours at cemeteries around the Cincinnati area? Not only Cincinnati, but we do tours at cemeteries all around the Midwest to include Indianapolis, Columbus, Louisville, Lexington, and more. Be sure to visit our website or you can find us on TripAdvisor. Cemetery tours at the Wesleyan Cemetery and other cemeteries in Cincinnati. You can learn some history, and you can have yourself a good time on a cemetery tour with the Necro Tourist. All right, everybody. Today's feature, Famous Grave, is going to be none other than President William Henry Harrison. He was born in 1773 in the Commonwealth of Virginia. He actually became the ninth president in 1841, and he was known as a military officer and obviously a politician. He was studying to become a doctor when his father died, and it pretty much left the family in a position where they had no more money for his further education, so he decided to join the army. And it's a good thing that he did, because really his reputation was established with his military battles, such as the Battle of Fallen Timbers, which was ending the Northwest Indian Wars, the Battle of Tippecanoe. That happened during Tecumseh's Confederacy, and we all know that that led to other historical things, Tippecanoe and Tyler II, the Buckeye, and all kinds of things like that. He was also known for the Battle of the Thames War in 1812, and he actually, interestingly enough, was the last president who was born a subject of Britain. Now, another interesting thing about him, until modern days, obviously, he was 68 years old in 23 days when he was inaugurated, which made him the oldest president up until Reagan was inaugurated in 81. He was sworn in at the beginning of March in 1841. And on March 26th, he became ill with a cold. Now, you know, back then people were stupid. Their medicine was uneducated. And people believed that cold and rainy weather could cause illness. Well, really, people still kind of believe that. That's not possible. But that being said, 3 weeks after the inauguration, he got sick, and everybody attributed this cold that he had to that event. Now, you know, obviously he was an older guy. He was worn down. You know, that makes you susceptible to sickness in the wintertime. So the guy got sick 3 weeks later. Now, the modern medical forms of helping him out, they did things like opium, castor oil, leeches, Virginia snakeweed. Yeah, but obviously those things only made it worse. Actually, and as the cold worsened, it quickly went into pneumonia, and then it went into pleurisy. And 9 days later, after becoming sick, on April 4th at 12:30 a.m., 1841, President Harrison died. He died on the 32nd day in office, which makes him the first president to die in office, also the one that served the shortest tenure in U.S. history. Now, actually, that kind of sparked some things about the 25th Amendment and so on and so forth, but that's for another history lesson. Harrison's funeral took place at the Wesley Chapel in Cincinnati, Ohio, on April 7th, 1841. Now, he was originally interred at the Congressional Green Cemetery in Washington, D.C., but he was later moved to the Harrison Estate, or the Harrison area, in North Bend, Ohio, which is on the west side of Cincinnati, and he wanted to be able in a tomb where he was able to overlook Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. This actually reinterment took place on July 7th in 1841, and this was as per President Harrison's wishes. Now, actually, at the burial location, there are 24 tombs inside the monument, which we'll discuss in a moment. It's his wife, his son John, and several other family members. And John's an interesting story because his when the tomb was originally there, his body was stolen. But that's grave snatchers and that's a whole nother story. However, his body was stored at nearby Spring Grove and then brought back. Actually, now right around the corner, there's the Congress Green Cemetery, which is a lot of Harrison's family, his in-laws' family, which are the Sims and such, which they are also legendary in the Cincinnati area. Like I said, it was originally just a simple tomb, and 1871, John sold his family land, just except for 6 acres, that was Congress Green and part of the family estate. So he agreed to do that as long as the state of Ohio agreed to preserve the area. So in 1919, the tomb was falling in disrepair, and the Ohio legislators approved funds for the monument that we see today. That is on the National Registry of Historic Places. It was put there in 1970. It is a very interesting place. I have to tell you, somebody who grew up in Cincinnati, it's one of those field trips that a lot of the schools take, especially if you live on the west side of town. And it's amazing because you actually get out and there's, you know, the parking area. They got all this information there. Then you go up this stone pathway where there's these large eagles and you walk up the pathway to what is a 60-foot obelisk, which is amazing. Then you can go inside where they have like Harrison's name over the top. You go in, there's a sign-in log. This is actually run by the Harrison History Society, I believe it is, in conjunction with the Ohio Historical Society. And you're able to see, it's, you know, there's a cage door there, but you're able to see all the tombs that are inside. As I said, many of them are sealed, but still, it is one of the most interesting experiences. And if you were in the Cincinnati area, it doesn't take you very long to shoot west down US 50, and you won't miss it as you're heading to North Bend, Ohio. Just look for the 60-foot obelisk, which is the final resting place of the 9th President of the United States, William Henry Harrison. Oh, and by the way, he is the grandfather of the 23rd President of the United States, Benjamin Harrison, and can be found in Indianapolis, Indiana. Add these two to your Necro Travelers checklist.
Here's another Medal of Honor moment with the Necro Tourist.
Today's Medal of Honor moment is Edward Rickenbacker. Born October 8, 1890 in Columbus, Ohio, he was the captain of the 94th Aero Squadron, and he was a fighter ace in World War I. With 26 aerial victories, he is the most successful fighter ace in the war. He has a Medal of Honor for flying solo across enemy lines and downing enemy aircraft and spy balloons. Considered to have received the most awards for valor by any American during the war. He received the Distinguished Service Cross a record 8 times, and one of those awards was converted to the Medal of Honor in 1930. He also has the Medal of Merit, the Legion of Honor from France, as well as the Croix de Guerre from France as well. He was also a race car driver and an automotive designer, a government consultant in military manners, and a pioneer in air transportation, particularly as the longtime head of Eastern Airlines. Rickenbacker died July 23, 1973, and is interred at the Greenlawn Cemetery in Columbus, Ohio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to what is my favorite part of the show often. It is the tales from the travel logs of the Necro Tourist. You know, everywhere we go and every trip we have, we usually write a story about it or do something on our webpage about it, or we at least feature it as a segment on our social media. This is a trip that just happened really just less than 2 weeks ago. I had mentioned last week that I was going to discuss it, so I am going to talk to you about a story that we are calling Bowling Green and the Nashville Floods. This was the last week of March in 2021. As I mentioned to you many a times before, I travel with my friend Senior Bull. We used to do radio together. We've been longtime friends. We just recently were discussing how we've been friends for over 25 years now. That seems kind of crazy. You know, he travels for his business. I travel for my business. So certainly we are both historians and we both enjoy seeing cemeteries and things. As a matter of fact, over the last couple of years, he's become an even greater necro traveler because as he goes to some of the places with me, he's enjoying it more and more. But he had business in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we decided to, he also had business in Glasgow, Kentucky, which is near Bowling Green, as well as southern Kentucky, northern Tennessee, in that area. And then we were going to spend a couple of days in Nashville and then come back for another meeting on Monday in Bowling Green. Okay, so if you can follow me on that. So we leave on a Thursday, and the first thing we do we head down to the Glasgow area, which is near Monmouth Cave and some of that area. And we stop and visit Fort Williams, which is a very interesting place to visit. You definitely want to stop there. That's in Glasgow. And we also went to the Cosby UMC Cemetery, where, you know, many of you that follow the website and such know that I've been hunting down Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky governors for a while. You know, not that I don't look for other governors, it's just those are the immediate states around me, so I've been in a hardcore hunt for them. Pretty close to finishing them, as a matter of fact. This was one of the stragglers, Governor Nunn. That being said, we headed down to the Monmouth Cave area, where we also came across the Monmouth Cave Cemetery, which was interesting because there was a guy in there. His name was William Collins, and he actually discovered a couple of the caves and actually died in one of the caves. So, yeah, that was kind of a unexpected find. You know, that's one of the great things about necro traveling. You know, sometimes we have just a one destination in mind, and then we just pick a road and we head that way, and wherever we see a cemetery or something interesting and historical, we stop. Okay, so we wrap up day number one, and we head day number two. We head to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Now, we actually were just checking out some things, but there's a Pioneer Cemetery in Bowling Green, which we stopped there. Very old cemetery, early 1800s. Very interesting stuff that we saw there. And we decided to work our way down from there to Nashville, where we were going to be staying. So as we did, we shot across Hendersonville and a few areas in Nashville where we picked up Conway Twitty, visited Johnny Cash and a few other country stars. We also picked up Grandpa Jones from Hee Haw. And we ended our night by heading to the Parthenon down at Centennial Park in downtown Nashville, which if you haven't been there, that's tremendous. It's something you definitely need to see. Okay, now here's where the story gets kind of crazy. As I told you, this is now Friday night, and we're in downtown Nashville. And we decide we're going to go down to the Strip because it's Friday night. Because, you know, even though we don't listen to a lot of country music, you know, when you're in Nashville, you got to do what the Nashvillians do. Or at least the touristy Nashvillians do. And you got to go down to the Strip. Well, mind you that COVID is just having released restrictions in Tennessee. It is also spring break. So as we're walking down the Strip, I mean, I've been to Nashville several times. A Bull has been to Nashville several times. We have never seen it like this. Lines waiting to get into every single club in the place. And this is just crazy. We go back to the hotel. The next day we wake up, we watch the news reports, and lo and behold, it turns out it was the largest crowd in the history of Nashville partying on the Strip. Yes, you heard what I said, the busiest night ever, and we were there. The ironic thing is, we didn't take a single picture. That isn't really why we were there. We didn't think it would be that packed. But yeah, so we experienced the most crowded night in the history of the Strip. Move you to day number three, which is now Saturday. We decide that we are going to check out some of the local sites in Nashville. We went to the Opryland Hotel, and we also went to the Nashville City Cemetery, which I had been before, the oldest cemetery in the area. And there had been recent storms during the week, so there were huge trees downed. As a matter of fact, I have photos of those big trees that were blown down in this historic cemetery, which was really tragic. Then we went on to Fort Negley. Hey, lucky for me, not spelled the same way, but sounds the same way. Fort Negley was a historic Civil War fort, and we checked that out. And the beautiful thing about that, it has amazing overviews of the city of Nashville. So whether it be day or night, you have a great view of the city. It's a great place to go for historical value as well as the scenic view of the city. So as this night ends, we decide, you know, we want to check out some of the music in Nashville, but not country music. We want to see what's on the music scene. We find a local bar, and at this night, it starts to rain. Now, it had rained a little bit on and off throughout the course of the day. And then it started to rain heavily. And I mean, it came down, ladies and gentlemen. When the night wrapped up, when we made it back to our hotel in this torrential downpour, we get up the next morning and again, we're watching the news. And what do we see? That it was a record-setting night. There was over 12 inches of rain in that 24-hour period of time. It was the fourth highest total of rain ever in the history of Nashville. So Friday night, we're there for the busiest night on the strip. Saturday night, we're there for the fourth highest total of rain everywhere. So there's flooding going on all over the place. And as I'm watching the news, I see a cemetery on the news that's underwater. So, of course, you know, that catches my attention, but I never did catch where it was. That being said, on Sunday, we were going to go around and catch some of the country stars that were at some of the various cemeteries in Nashville. And if you're there, you definitely need to check those out. You definitely need to go to Woodlawn, which there are dozens of huge country stars. I don't want to get into that too heavily because that's completely for another show. This is more about what happened in the trip overall. So as we're heading down, we are going to go to the Mount Hope Cemetery where Minnie Pearl is. I told you earlier, I got Grandpa Jones. I want to get Minnie Pearl. I've got several other Hee-Haw stars. I was looking forward to this. So she's buried in Franklin, which is a southern suburb of Nashville. And when we get to her grave, we're shooting that, and there's somebody else there, I believe. It was Elvis's producer, I believe. And, nice community cemetery there. Franklin's a very nice community. As a matter of fact, we ate dinner there later. But when we were going to the edge of the cemetery, you could see over the wall where some of the flooding was, where the Happeth River was south of Nashville. And the streets were flooded. A nearby Sonic was underwater. There was a car that was underwater. You could see people were even playing in the flood water like fools. Police were telling them not to do so. But in the distance, I can see that cemetery that we saw on the news. So now I know what's going on. So we are in the city of Franklin, as I told you, south of Nashville. We roll out of Mount Hope, where Minnie Pearl is. We get to the other side, and we arrive at what we find out later is going to be the Rest Haven Cemetery and the Franklin City Cemetery. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, these things were underwater. Some of you may have seen my videos on the Necrotourist. You may have seen the post. We will have new ones up on the cemetery podcast albums. But these two pioneer cemeteries, old school cemeteries, were underwater. I mean, feet. All you could see was obelisks sticking up. It was horrendous. I've never seen a flood like this in a cemetery because usually people keep the cemeteries away from the rivers. I don't know how this happened. So I'm shooting along. This is a stone wall. And I was told by a local resident that they had recently rehabbed these cemeteries, done work in the last 10 years, because you could tell, other than the flood, they looked really good. And it was tragic. But there was only one thing that's funny. There's nothing, to laugh about this, other than as I'm filming and shooting the first cemetery, Rest Haven, which is as we approach it, was to the left, and the city cemetery was to the right. I could see that it was all underwater. And as I shoot the photos, which you will see, and then I come back and turn around, I start shooting in the city cemetery. Now, the city cemetery, of course, I can get to many of the graves. I didn't realize anything was wrong with this cemetery. I'm shooting around a lot of tabletops, a lot of early 1800s graves. I'm shooting like crazy. There's actually two local ladies who were talking about something and, threw up one of those questions into the air, and I actually had the answer. I'm shooting around, catching as many graves as I can, looking for the famous people in the Franklin City Cemetery. And these guys, believe me, they have a placard where you can get history walking towards Franklin. I appreciate this place. It's a shame it was underwater. But as I get to the edge of the cemetery, I turn and I see that the entire back end of the cemetery is underwater. I didn't even notice that. That's how obsessed I was as I was going through looking at each individual grave. I didn't realize the city cemetery on the opposite side of the street, the back half was underwater. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was very sad to see those cemeteries underwater. I hope that water receded pretty quickly. I hope the damage that was done is not irreversible, or at least doesn't create amazing amounts of work. I don't know what could be done about that in the future, but that was one of the most horrible things I have personally ever seen. I know there's worse things where cemeteries get flooded out and graves get washed out. I don't know. Who knows? There may be even ones washed out in this cemetery. We intend to follow up with Franklin and see what happened with that, but it was crazy. It was a sad experience to see that. Now, I did, in conclusion, I wanted to tell you, we did wrap up this trip by, on Monday, going to Bowling Green, Kentucky, as I told you. While we were there, we visited the three main cemeteries, Fairview, St. Joseph Catholic, and Mount Moriah, that are right there. And if you are in or passing through Bowling Green, you definitely need to go to these places. And there are several famous people there, Revolutionary soldiers, some Civil War soldiers. But one of the most famous people at Fairview is the legendary Duncan Hines. Yes, Duncan Hines. You heard what I said. Then I'm going to wrap this story up because it feels like I'm going long, and I probably am. But I do want to tell you that it was an exciting adventure to be in Nashville for the flooding, to be there for the big crowds. It was exciting to be in Bowling Green. It was exciting to visit two forts. It was a good time with my friend Senior Bull. And if you are in Nashville and or Bowling Green, I suggest you visit all of those locations. And on another show in the future, we will discuss the famous graves of Nashville in of itself, because we only begin to touch on the graves that are in Nashville at this point. Be sure to check out Bowling Green and Nashville and add those to your traveler's checklist.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
Okay, I would like to thank everybody for joining me on this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast. Again, I would like to thank my partner, Charlotte Graves. Thank my traveling partner and friend, Senior Bull. I'd like to thank Osric Tentacles for our theme songs and our background music. I would like to thank all of you who have joined me every week. Thank you to all the new listeners. Thank you for those who have been with us since the beginning. I will be back next week. I appreciate this. Email me if you've got questions. Check out the web pages. Go to our Facebook pages. This is Ken Nagley for the Necro Tourist and the Cemetery Podcast. And until the next time you hear my voice, I'll see you in the yard.